Hey everybody, and welcome to the long-awaited return of Nerds for Hire. I've got Dalton and Asa here with me, and I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. Say hi, guys.
Hey, thank you for doing it like that, because you know it's not like we've been doing shows forever where I was about to say yo.
We used the Lazarus Pit. Comic books.
Yeah. Sorry, Dalton, I decided to throw a curveball at you because I didn't want it to be
He knew you couldn't hang. He wanted to embarrass you in front of all these people.
No, I'm not in front of all these people. You mean the hobo that tried stabbing me during Nerd Up? Or the food delivery guy? He didn't try stabbing me. He just wanted to deliver some
food. I don't understand the story at all. But
remember?
I remember. We'll move past it, though. yeah, I wanted to separate the intro a little bit from Nerd Up so people weren't thinking they were just listening to, you know, Nerd Up again.
But why wouldn't you? It's great.
It's a great show. You guys should go listen
to it. Getting a little itchy because Nintendo hadn't given us an announcement on that Direct yet. I'm going to look real stupid.
We got a day.
Now they got a reason to go back and listen to it, because what is he talking about? We don't know.
Oh, he just pulled a comic book move right there. Put an asterisk, C,
yep.
Nerd Up, issue, whatever, I don't know whatever episode we're on now.
I mean, like, at this point now it's date, so yeah. Issue January 7th, 2018. I'm really surprised I got 2018 out there, I'll be honest with you. Okay, so comic books. We decided to do a retrospective episode today where we talk about some of our favorite stuff of 2017. We kind of wanted to do this for the end of the year show, and then that didn't happen. And then, listen, time got away from us.
Also, but wasn't there like an article that Asa hated that's the reason we're doing this?
Kind of, but y'all kind of dropped the ball on me, so we're not going to talk about that.
Huh?
Because it was all about how there weren't even 10 good comics that came out this year.
What?
Yeah, it was a Vice article, and he's like, yeah, I was top 10 comics that came out this year. I couldn't even think of 10. That's how bad comics have been all year.
Oh.
And neither of you have 10 on your list, so.
But, I mean, between three of us, there's 19, so there's obviously more than 10. I really hope y'all don't have doubles.
I mean, I could absolutely
We absolutely do have doubles.
All right, well, then I know that
you. But, yeah, so instead of having just, like, an actual numbered thing, we just kind of decided that we're going to do just what we liked the best.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I pull 10 books, but that's because I don't read a lot of comics.
I know, which is great for a comic book show.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely pull 10 books, and I absolutely could put 10 books on my list. I actually was trying to narrow down to 5.
I had to cut mine down. Like, yeah. I had too many.
Because we didn't put a specific number on it, so I was trying to cut down to 5. Ended up with 6,
mm-hmm.
because I needed 6.
Right.
But I could stretch it to 10 easily.
No, I mean, because, like, 5 I feel like is better, on top of the other stuff that we decided we're going to do.
All right. So, yeah, since Dalton's list is shortest, Dalton, your top comic books of 2017.
The three that I was most interested in reading every time it came out was Nightwing, Power Rangers, and then the Iceman solo book.
Don't tell him.
What? What should you not tell me?
Oh, it's fine, buddy.
All right.
You just sit there looking cute.
You just enjoy that Iceman book.
Yeah, me and like 5 other people.
I'd say it'll keep you warm, but it's Iceman. But it's Iceman.
Dalton really liked that joke. I like that Dalton's publishers are varied.
Yeah. Because, like, you and me, it's not going to be.
Nope.
That's why there's, like, going to be 19 different books-ish. Like,
well, I mean, that's what I kind of like about the show is, like, you're the Marvel guy, I'm the DC guy, Dalton's here.
He's our third wheel.
Right.
You don't want a back-and-forth podcast for an hour. That would be boring. You have to have a third.
Well.
And enter the Dalton.
Keep telling yourself that, buddy.
Aw.
No, we love you. That's why you're here. Asa.
Yes.
I know that I started with Dalton because this was the shortest, but I'm the host, so you're second.
Well, just
double birds to Asa.
Well, no, just like real quick, too. So, like, what about, because, like, you said Nightwing, Power Rangers, and Iceman.
Yeah.
So what about, like, those are keeping you going back?
Well, Power Rangers and Nightwing are very much, like, those are, like, old shoe.
Right.
Like, even, like, and I will say, the Nightwing Rebirth, mm-hmm. along with Nightwing New 52, there's been some just horribly written stuff for that particular character that we have talked about.
You are no longer the target audience for Nightwing.
Yeah, and which saddens me, but it's my favorite character. Because so
I dropped Nightwing, which, like, it bummed me out when I did. Like, it's not like, oh, I get to, you know, I took no joy in that. It's just, stop it.
It's my Mandy Wonder Woman thing where I'm like, mm-hmm. no, it's Nightwing. So, and that's why it'll always be in my top of the year,
right.
like, except for whenever they killed him off.
Right.
I hated Grayson. But Power Rangers, I've enjoyed the book, even though there's been a lot of really kind of stupid choices they've made with it.
Time travel.
Alternate
timelines.
Yeah. That book started out really strong, and it's still good. Like, I still have fun reading it. And then the Iceman book, which, again, he's, like, one of my favorite X-Men, but that was such a... We'll get to it in best moment,
mm-hmm.
but that book has hooked me in a way that no other book has hooked me in a long time.
Do you are you caught up on Go-Go Power Rangers at all?
Not yet. I usually wait to get about 5 issues of a book before I start reading it.
Okay.
Iceman was like the one exception this year that I did that, where I was like, no, I'll read issue 1 and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really gotten into Go-Go. I think I'm like 1 or 2 issues in okay. on that one.
I hadn't heard because I haven't started it either, and I didn't know if it because I have. Every issue that's come out so far, which I think they're up to like 4 or 5, I think.
Yeah.
Have you not read any of Titans?
I read Titans in 16 or 17 or no.
Like when Rebirth launched?
When Rebirth launched.
Because I feel like that's something that stars Nightwing that's more geared toward us.
Because that Titans is on my list.
I think I have the first like 2 arcs worth.
Because, I mean, Titans was really good. The only reason I stopped reading is because I have too much stuff to read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that was really it. It just didn't quite make the cut.
Yeah, unfortunately, Japanese wrestling just entered my life in a big bad way. So I'm afraid this year's going to be even slimmer on comics because, like, Okada is...
How can it be? You're only pulling, like, 4 books.
Yeah, I know, but I paid a lot for New Japan World in the last week. So...
You paid for it twice.
It's your own fault.
Either way, I know I'm not going to argue for money with you, especially not on this show. Asa, what do you got, buddy?
Let me pull up my... I always forget that Google Docs has an app.
Oh, yeah, you can't actually just browse it from Chrome anymore.
Right.
You can, but it's really hard.
Yup.
Where did you go?
You have to, like, go in through the Gmail webpage.
Do you have yours in front of you, Jesse?
Honorable mention is going to... I would have my laptop, but I forgot to bring my charger. Mm. So, because we're doing my D&D character after this, and I need my battery to...
Right.
Stay where it's at, and I don't know how long that's going to take. I'm going to give an honorable mention... to Spider-Man Deadpool, because I really enjoyed that book. They just made entirely too many
filler issues
done by guest writers that were totally out of the that totally just removed the ongoing story.
Yep.
And it was such a bummer because the ongoing story they were telling was so good.
I was really really enjoying the Itsy Bitsy arc.
It was
like,
so cool.
I just really wish that they would have finished it within, you know, without giving me every other issue was a filler, if not like 1 in 3 was canon.
There was a stretch where once they introduced Itsy Bitsy, you didn't get 2 issues in a row of her story.
And sometimes you wouldn't get, like, 3 issues would release,
mm-hmm.
and only 1 of them would be the actual story arc.
Yeah.
Like, it was,
and when it's a once monthly, that...
Yeah, no.
That's a bummer.
That was a book that we were all getting.
Yeah.
Because I got the Hastings variant of number 1.
Because that book was, it started out amazing, and mm-hmm. I loved it, because I've always loved, like, their dynamic.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite versions of Deadpool, because I agree with, like, I like Deadpool way more than anybody else in the group, but, like, I agree that he's better when he's not solo.
Yes.
And then, on top of how much I already like Spider-Man, his dynamic with interacting with Deadpool, and just his open, outward hatred of him, so good. And, like, the way they played that, and the longer that story went, and the, like, their dynamic changed. It wasn't just a static, you know, odd couple pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were character dynamics that was so good. And then just randomly, like, hey, we'll give the Comedy Bang Bang guy an issue. And I like him. He's funny. I thought that him saying Spider-Man, him having Spider-Man say Comedy Bang Bang is his favorite TV show, and now that's canon. It's hilarious. Like, I love that.
I did not like at all the Penn and Teller issue.
That bummed me out, because I was also on a big, like, Fooled Us kick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, cool. Like, I like Penn. I think Penn is a fascinating dude. Like, I love their act, and I'm super on board. And then it was just, like, 3 pages of him meta-arguing with Daredevil, or with Deadpool.
Yes.
And it was just like, oh, this is not great.
No, I stopped reading it. I couldn't finish the issue.
Ugh.
These aren't long books.
Yeah, they're
and
not.
I couldn't make myself finish it. I did, with Spider-Man Deadpool, I did finish the Itsy Bitsy arc,
mm-hmm.
because I was really interested in that. And for those of you, I recommend checking it out. Just, you know, skip the filler issues. Treat it like manga if you guys are fans of that stuff.
Except this isn't like the filler issue. Isn't just nothing's really happening in the story. It's a whole separate story.
Yeah,
taking place out of like issue 10 can end with like they're both about to die in a burning building or something. And issue 11 starts up with them like eating lunch in a park.
Yeah,
and quipping at each other. No, things were happening.
Please go back to the things that were happening.
Because they were very interesting.
Yeah, the Itsy Bitsy arc ended up being really good. She's kind of she's a clone combining Spider-Man and Deadpool. And she's awesome.
Yes.
And she's completely unhinged. It's a great arc. Mm-hmm. And I really like how they ended it and everything. And after that, I stopped pulling it because...
You got what you wanted out of it.
I got what I needed. Yep. I didn't want to get hooked in again. And then more filler.
And then they changed it to into Spider-Man versus Deadpool. And, like, I don't know where it sits at now.
Yeah, because I thought it was back to just Spider-Man Deadpool.
I think it is.
But, yeah.
Which even that, like, the way they did that was pretty interesting. But it was just like, and then they did a guest issue. And I was like, I can't.
Gotta
I've
stop.
Been burned. Or they did a crossover issue into something else. Which was
merch
another,
for money, maybe?
No, I don't remember what it was. But it was like Deadpool was in hell suddenly.
Hmm.
I think.
I mean, his
no, that was an, in that was an earlier one. That was an earlier one. But they did another. It might have been Mercs for Money. I don't know. But they did another crossover issue, and it totally derailed the story. And I'm just like, I can't. I gotta drop it. So, but the stuff that it did it so well, and I wanted to at least give it that acknowledgement.
Yeah, that's entirely fair.
Also, honorable mention, just because I'm pretty sure most of this happened in 2016, but I've heard it's just kept going really well. Was Infamous Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because...
That's on my list. Spoiler.
Is it? Yeah. When did that start in 2017 or did that start in 2016?
I think it started late 2016 because it was after... Infamous Iron Man started after Civil War II,
mm-hmm.
which was at the end of 2016, I'm pretty sure.
But so the... Because the... Like... the for those who don't know, Infamous Iron Man, at the end of Civil War II, Tony Stark is left... For all intents and purposes, he's dead. But he's not really dead, but he's dead. But so now we have this, they have to fill the mantle of Iron Man. One is, and we get two replacements. One is Riri Williams, who's a 15-year-old girl based in Chicago, who Tony Stark has uploaded his consciousness as a simulation, as a program. So he's basically her Jarvis, and she becomes Ironheart.
Also, October 19th, 2016 was issue one of Infamous Iron Man.
October, November. So was it issue three or four? Where we get the reveal of why Dr. Doom becomes the other Iron Man.
I think that was issue 3.
Okay, so that would have been 2016 then.
Possibly.
But that would have been... But just the... Dr. Doom, who is, you know, the end-all be-all in Marvel villains in the comic book world. And, oh, please give us him in a Marvel movie.
Yes.
In a good Marvel movie. Like,
yes,
just,
please.
And for him to suddenly take up the mantle to try to be a hero and seeing how these other people who know exactly who Victor Von Doom is not go along with it. And then you find out his motivations for why he wants to do it. Oh, it's so cool. Yep. It's so cool. And then it turns out like his mom is an undying witch who comes into play. Just a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. No, but Iron Man is great.
And the reason it didn't actually make my actual list is just because I am so far behind. I'm not caught up on it. I don't know if I've read any of the 2017 stuff even.
Also, I'm really surprised that you were reading it for any amount of time. Do you know who the writer is?
No.
It's Brian Michael Bendis.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, again, when he does, like, I have no problem admitting that he can do cool stuff. It's not like I'm going, like, he's totally blacklisted from a potential pull list. It's just the stuff that is bad happens to be synonymous with him. Whether or not it's actually his fault, it's like I said on Nerd Up, his name is the number one on the cover.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, if I am given the option, yeah, I'll probably avoid it. But I'm not going to like actively not enjoy something that's good because it's him. Like I don't want him to fail in DC. I'm not rooting against him at all because like when he does well, comic books do well. And when comic books do well, we get more... cool comic stuff, yeah, that happens.
Keep
so,
him away from Nightwing.
And like I said, Bendis, his solo stuff, if he does Nightwing, it'll probably be the best Nightwing has been in years.
Yeah, and then it'll end with him dying because DC hates Nightwing. No, I've seen Nightwing die before.
That's fair.
Like, no, that wasn't a Bendis shot. I just know if he takes it, it'll end with him dying. That, and I mean, yeah, no, Bendis has killed a lot of people, but they've killed Nightwing more than once.
He is kind of their go-to, like,
because Dan DiDio is a real DiDio. I'm not sure if we're allowed to cuss on this show.
Putting the D in Didio.
We're not. We're going to try and keep this family oriented.
Well, then I'm happy that I censored it.
I'm also happy that you censored it.
So, yeah. So, I have 7 on my list of, like, I can probably skip around to, like, the ones I actually want to talk about for real. Titans is one. I love the team dynamic. Some of the stuff feels a little, like, CW teen soap opera-y.
Yeah.
And which is fine because they're young adults. They're like, they're in like early to mid 20s because they're not the Teen Titans. They're just the Titans.
Right. Because it's a lot of the original Titan team right. all grown up.
And like people like Omen and Garth and Donna Troy are not characters that I am particularly knowledgeable or fond of. Mm. And not because I dislike them. It's just I don't know enough about them to really have a big history with any of them.
Right.
But it makes me care about all of them. And I think that's a really good aspect to have. But it's also the reason I was reading it is because it's the book Wally West comes back in, and he's like this huge crux of Rebirth.
Yes.
In between like him and Nightwing, just like because I love that dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like them as friends has always been super cool.
Oh yeah. No, and they're everybody's relationship in that book is really fun to read, and mm-hmm. it's just cool.
And like I said, it can get a little CW-y for me.
You end up with a lot of like. Sort of like will they won't they romance kind of subplots going on.
Yeah. And and those don't go away.
No.
Those just kind of expand even. So, but like the storytelling in it is actually really well done. This last arc that just finished was really good. Like I enjoyed it. It kind of the twist at the end was a little underwhelming for me, but overall it's a really good book. Plus Nightwing gets to do Nightwing things.
Yeah.
And the Lazarus contract was cool.
So I stopped reading Titans a while back. So I'm assuming somebody tries sleeping with Nightwing, right?
No. Nightwing's the one.
That's a first.
He's actually pretty much the one that's not in the middle of a romantic entanglement of some sort.
Well, I guess they save that for the Nightwing solo books.
They sure do.
Every other issue.
Every single arc.
Somebody's trying to kill him. I'm either trying to sleep with him or I'm trying to sleep with their sister. One of the two.
Or the person who's trying to kill him. But my real name is Mr. Nice. Surely I won't turn out bad.
Again, I know that like it's only because it's my favorite character is that he's on my year. But like it wasn't a great year for him.
And that was my thing. Is it's like I love Nightwing. Yeah. Like he's my favorite member of the extended Bat family. But or of the Bat family, I should say.
Mm.
But oh, it was so bad. Like he deserves so much better. Next up is Curse Words. That one I picked up because of David at Villainous Grounds. Was like, hey, this is your type of sense of humor. The art's kind of cool. You should check this out. I read that one, and then the next time I went up there, I bought like the next like 3 issues. It's so good.
It's really good.
It's just it's this powerful wizard who I almost said Grand Wizard. this powerful wizard from like this other universe is sent to our realm to like do some recon and to enslave it for his evil master. But then he just kind of looks around and sees how people are like free and happy. And he decides, okay, I'm not going to go back. Like, this is actually pretty cool. I'm just going to hang out for a while. And he becomes like this pseudo celebrity because he can do actual magic. And it's just like.
And his name is Wizord.
Yeah. his assistant it turns into a koala just because. They immediately think that those are the best animals.
How far behind are you on that?
I'm pretty far behind. Ruby.
Yeah.
Has crossed over, and she has made a decision.
Okay. The koala is interesting.
Oh, yeah?
There's more to the koala than it seems.
Oh, I'm like, I have no doubt of this, but I'm super excited. But that sentence is why I just love comics. Because like that is just so like,
and I'm about to say the line that I always say to Allie about wrestling is mm-hmm. sometimes comics are stupid.
No, this isn't stupid. This isn't stupid. It's amazing. So good.
The characters in it are kind of funny. Some of the language that they use, like not necessarily swearing, but like my big bad overlord evil person. Like just uses vernacular that I seems too like hip or like laid back because he is kind of like 90s villain
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the first time you hear Skeletor talk. And you're like, that's not how that should go. But it's something that you can adapt to pretty easily. Yeah. So, yeah, if you haven't heard of curse words, try to find a trade, because it is...
Yeah, because I think the first trade is either out now or coming soon.
Because you're not going to be able to find the first, like, two issues. They did, like, five printings of the first issue, and then none of the second one. Because I think it was Trevor was trying to...
Yep, I got Trevor into it.
Yeah.
By lending him a few issues of mine. Mm-hmm. He wasn't able to get issues. Yeah, basically, issue one got five reprintings, and every issue since then hasn't gotten any reprintings at all.
Curse Words Volumes 1 and... Pre-order for 2 is going to be up next week, but right now on Amazon, and so this is of today, it's $7.40 right now for the volume 1. I don't know how many issues that covers.
That's probably digital, too.
No, it's Prime. Paperback.
Wow.
That's
a phenomenal deal.
Yeah, so get on that. Because
it's worth every penny of that.
100%. So my next up on my list is the Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man. That is not the main Dan Slott run. That is the Chip Zdarsky kind of sibling book to it. I'm
still canon, but more his street level stuff.
I'm only 3 issues in, and I'm already loving this. Like, this is one that every time we go up to VG, I'm going to pick up a couple issues until I get caught up.
Mm.
Just because it's... Spider-Man is probably my favorite non-X-Men Marvel character. Just because I have a soft spot for Wolverine. Gambit is the best.
I'm always surprised when I hear, like, anybody likes Wolverine. And I know, like, everybody likes Wolverine.
And it's because I never got super into the comics. So I was never just, like, totally inundated with just Wolverine in every single book, like, taking over spaces that, like, characters that I think would be better suited should be in.
Because, yeah, like, if you're anything like me, whenever you were a kid... Like every other kid in the 90s, Wolverine was the best.
Right.
He was just freaking cool. Dalton, I'm sorry you're young, and that's why you're staring at me like that. But anybody that watched the 90s X-Men cartoon loved Wolverine.
He was cool as the dad in Evolution.
I was going to talk about my lord and savior, Bobby Drake, but it's fine.
No one even knows who that is.
Damn. I mean, like, I hear arguments for Cyclops that I'll accept, but I've never heard an argument for Iceman being the coolest in the group.
I will not accept those arguments.
I'm a little bit more forgiving
it's the same reason that, like, Leonardo is not the best Ninja Turtle in any possible universe. He's just the plain white meat. We've got to give it all we got. Like... Oh, I love this girl, but she might be interested in someone else, even though we have a kid together. Shut up.
You know, Cyclops did get kind of whiny pretty frequently, and then Wolverine got whiny over Jean Grey, too. Yeah, Jean Grey
just
made...
That's a meme! But also, Morph!
Oh, Morph.
And then, like, Cyclops goes from, like... Because, again, I know this is very broad strokes, and it's not an accurate portrayal of the arc, but Cyclops went from whiny, boring leader... to cheap Magneto knockoff.
Oh, see, I don't think he was a cheap Magneto knockoff.
He was the best Magneto knockoff.
I loved, like, you know what? Maybe Magneto was right, Cyclops. That Cyclops, the most interesting Cyclops to ever hit, comic books.
We need to get young Cyclops to tell him how much of a jerk he is. I was a dumb kid. You are stupid. You will
that
learn.
Was the best way that could have resolved itself. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but most of you are fully aware that the young X-Men are in the present, like the past X-Men are in present.
The original X team in their teenage states.
Yes, the original five.
We'll get into it in the time.
And yeah, that was they were brought to the present by Hank McCoy. So that young Cyclops could try and talk sense into adult Cyclops. And adult Cyclops is just like, really, Hank? I was a kid. Yeah, I was stupid. I have learned. He will, too. I'm really sorry for all the things that are going to happen to you. And I was like, yeah.
That's how that would go.
That's exactly how that would go. That's exactly how it should go. Thank you.
But so Spider-Man.
Yeah, back to that.
So Spectacular Spider-Man, the bromance between him and Johnny Storm is in full effect. Love it. This is kind of a spoiler, but it happens early enough in the run that it, and it the run's old enough that it doesn't really count, but like his sister, not sister, Teresa,
mm-hmm.
shows up, and like where that goes is actually really neat.
Yes.
And just so I'm really like, that's one book that I'm actually really excited. Like when I look at these stacks of books that I have to get caught up on, there's kind of a sense of like, oh, do I really need to read all of this? But like Spectacular Spider-Man, knowing how many issues I have to go to get caught up, and maybe it's because I haven't bought them yet. And then once I actually own them, I'll be like, okay, into the pile you go. But like, I'm actually really excited to see where that story goes.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit behind on that one too, but I absolutely do love it. It's the Dan Slott run has given me some really good things that I really like in recent issues, like Peter Parker and Mockingbird hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
I love every bit of that. But yeah, that's always been a fanship of mine. So anyway, continue your list.
Next up is Flash. Flash was one of my favorite things to come out of Rebirth. I only was reading it because of how much I liked the CW show,
mm-hmm.
which is wildly different, and like the characterizations mm-hmm. of some very core characters. But I didn't really care because
and skin color in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, just and like Iris was not Barry's, you know, adoptive sister.
Yeah,
type thing.
Yes.
Because that was in the show.
That was in the show.
Mm-hmm. And so I am not super, I've never been super like familiar with the Flash. Like I have multiple times had to look up why the difference between the Wally Wests. I'm not 100% like have that down to a science. I think I could give a decent explanation to who they are, but I'd probably get a lot of very core stuff wrong. But that said, the comic has been so good. Just so quickly, like it hit this is not, I don't mean this to do a pun, but it hit the ground running. Like it immediately hooked me.
Yeah, the Godspeed arc was one of the best so like cool. comic book arcs I've ever read,
and like
it was awesome.
This is how much I'm enjoying the Flash. I'm giving it a pass on the majority of his villains have been speedsters. I'm giving it a pass because time travel happens. I just love this storytelling because like you have to kind of accept that time travel and Flash go hand in hand.
Yes.
There's a reverse Flash arc that happens later in the run that happened in 2017 that I kind of rolled my eyes at. But then when it happened, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm on board with this.
Was that the thing I read in a bubble? Like, I just read the, like, couple issues of it, and then I was like...
I don't know what you read.
Of the Flash?
Yeah.
There was only one thing in the Flash that I would have read because it crossed over with Batman.
The button?
No, it was not. No, like
I was asking Dalton if that's what you meant.
Yeah, it was Button.
Okay, yeah. Okay. No, this was not. This was post Button.
Okay.
It is a direct fallout of the Button.
Oh, I would assume so after reading the Button.
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, like something that happens in the Button that kind of felt a little inconsequential, maybe actually mattered.
Okay.
And comes back. They do some stuff with Eobard Thawne. And you get a lot of, there's two or three issues that are kind of dedicated to explaining why he hates the Flash so much. And it's kind of like Lego Batman-y for me, of that like Joker-Batman relationship where he just wants to be acknowledged, kind of. But it was done well enough that it's like, okay, even though I've seen this before, I like it. And Barry's reaction to it, and then the fallout of it, is way cooler than what I would have hoped for initially. If you told me it's just like, oh no, Eobard Thawne is just mad because you like Wally West more than him. But like he does some kind of really messed up stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's Thawne. Next on my list is the Tom King Batman run.
Mm.
I don't know what else we can say about it. Mm. Just, I want to go back and reread The War of Jokes and Riddles because what my expectation of that book was and what we got were two wholly different things. If there was ever going to be a crossover event, not even a crossover event, but an event book that required like offshoot little mini issues, it was very much this one. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get any of that because mm-hmm. the War of Jokes and Riddles is told on a very macro scale. Like, you know, you might get a glimpse. And when I say glimpse, I mean like half of a panel of Bane fighting Scarecrow.
Because the whole thing was supposed to be Batman telling the story of what he did.
The worst thing he's ever done.
The worst thing he's ever done to Catwoman. Because, yeah, like Asa mentioned earlier, they're engaged now. And that's
sort
of...
I am very much 10-year-old boy when it comes to my comic books. Like, I don't care about the romantic subplots at all. So, like, this had kind of cringe written all over it for me when I saw that that's what they were doing. But the way they've done it, nope, I'm in.
It's so good. Like, I love it.
Yep.
Because I'm very much not Asa in that, and that, like, depending on the subplot, like, I love romantic subplots.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why season 4 of Arrow was the best.
Oh, God, except for those kinds. Again, it could be done poorly, but there are certain things, like, Batman and Catwoman is something that I have wanted to happen since I was in my late teens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's insert that gif.
I just realized I'm kind of the Batman, though. Because, like, no, Batman is meant to be alone forever. It's like Batman and Spider-Man have to be sad always for my amusement. Oh, I'm a monster.
I mean, we still love you, but the point is, it's all supposed to be him telling Catwoman, and it very much is told like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened, and it was awful, and then this happened, and it was more awful, mm-hmm. and then this happened, it was the awfulest.
And then something happened that was worse?
Yeah, and basically, like, it goes to, like, it shows you that happening, but again, like Asa said, macro scale, where you're kind of looking at, like, oh, yeah, that would be devastating for Gotham City. And then you really, like, I kind of want to see how that played out. Like, oh, that's how it ends.
Right.
And then it kind of moves past it.
Also, the ending of it with, like, the big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Not the reveal of what Batman did, but there's a second reveal that happens a little bit before that.
The secondary reveal.
The secondary reveal was a little bit of a letdown for me. I mean, like, on the one hand, I totally get it, and I do, and I like it, but it's just like, if that's all this was, like, I don't know. It gave me pause.
Because it was one of those things, like, if that was the point of the story, mm-hmm. then it would have been a real letdown.
That's fair. But since that other, because the big reveal, like, what the Batman's actual
reason for telling the story.
Their whole reason for telling the story is pretty awesome.
Yes.
And that took up a bulk of 2017. Really, and reading through that, even though I had my complaints with it, it was just Tom King has. Whenever we said how could anyone follow Scott Snyder doing a Batman story, that's how. I'm sorry for doubting you, sir.
Yeah, Tom King's been knocking out of the park left and right. We talked about it before, like I think on the first episode of Nerds for Hire, we talked about how Scott Snyder left shoes that no man could fill, mm-hmm. and then Tom King said, "Hold my beer,"
right?
And oh. Mm.
Killing it. My number two book is Detective Comics.
That's your number two?
It is.
Holy crap. All right, go ahead.
Wait, was there a John Wick comic book?
There might be. But it ain't John Wick Chapter 2, baby. That is my favorite comic of the year, though. The movie, John Wick Chapter 2. No, Detective Comics is amazing. It's just the team building aspect, like, as much as I joke around when I say Batman has to be alone and miserable for him to be Batman, mm-hmm. I very much love when he tries, when he realizes that is not the best way to do things, so he tries to let people in. And Detective Comics is very much him building this team of Batwoman and Clayface and Orphan and Spoiler and
starts with Tim Drake.
Tim Drake and I can't think of knockoff Tony Stark, Batwing, and Azrael comes in. Like, they just, like, this group of characters that he surrounds himself in are so fleshed out and so well written and human. It's why I could never get into a Superman book. Just like, you don't get all of this that's happening. It's just so.
Too much of Superman's plot relies on. Too much about Superman relies on what the plot needs.
Yeah, but and so, like, and this kind of does the same thing, but just the way they interact with each other, the way they interact with Batman, the way Batman interacts with them, and the things that happen to them on top of that, that they have to react to, is so crazy. Like, this Detective Comics will have my moment of the year. Like, I'll give you that. Like, that, I'll give you that teaser. But just, it's so good, and it's so well-written. Antinian IV is so good. That's another one that it's like, okay, I'm going to get caught up on Flash first because I have more of Detective to read, and I can knock out Flash real quick, and then I can really take my time with Detective.
Mm-hmm.
Because the arc that I started where I dropped off was about to resolve itself, and I'm really excited to see where that goes, but I'm going to go back and restart that entire arc.
See, I definitely need to read more of I haven't read any of Detective since Night of the Monster Men.
See, and that was the worst of it. And yes. And I didn't dislike Night of the Monster Men as much as like
I
other people.
I thought it was super dumb.
I also really enjoyed the way that, like, in the Detective comics themselves, like how that unit worked together and had to overcome stuff to face this situation. The situation was kind of dumb and like strictly served a Batman, like the actual Batman Runs story.
Mm.
But the way that they made it work in that, I was able to forgive.
Yeah, it wasn't outright bad, I guess, but I definitely did not like it. Like, it just,
it's a thing where it derails the main story they're already trying to tell.
All three stories that were going in the other comic books that mm-hmm. led into this one were better.
Yeah. And that's fair.
Yeah, so you had a huge drop-off in quality in all three books to get to Night of the Monster Men.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my problem with it, I think.
Yeah, I think if you picked it back up, you would get really into it.
I will someday. Like,
yeah.
Just got so many other books.
Right.
All right, what's your number one, Ace?
My number one, and maybe it's the recency bias, or whatever you want to call it, but Dark Knight's Metal is the most surprising, most just like, sorry for the pun, but bat poop insane thing I've read in comics in a very long time. Like, it totally took me off guard, and I have a lot of problems with it, but no comic book that I've read this year has made me, okay, I have to read the next one now. I have had comics where I'd be like, okay, I need to see what happens next. I want to see what happens next. This one legitimately had me staying up on, like, I needed to go to work the next day. And like, okay, I have to see this. Like, I don't even have the whole story, and that makes me very mad, because it's not going to finish until, like, end of 2018.
Yeah, it's a really long event.
Like, I mean, and all of the offshoots are, like, done. So now it's basically just, like, I think we have one more one-shot. There might be a couple tie-in books, but there are two more. There's only two more of the main, like, Batman 5 and Batman 6. Or Dark Knight's Metal 5 and 6 are all that's left of the core story. And I think there's one more one-shot and then a couple other tie-ins, like I said.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to go to, like, issue 9 or something like that.
I thought it was only 6.
Nah,
I'm pretty sure it's only 6.
Either
way, like, it's nuts. And it's because of how much I loved we gave it crap, even though, because we saw the release list of how many books were tying into this, and we're like, that's like 21 books. That no one's like, who could possibly do that? I'm tempted to go and buy the tie-ins just so I can get more of this story.
Which,
and I get it, like, I totally understand why people are like that, but this story, if for people who have read it, like, no, it's dumb. It is dumb, but it's in the, like, the pro wrestling, like, kind of like, I don't care. It's got me, and I am along for the ride. That said, The Forge and The Casting, the two prequel stories, wholly unnecessary. Like, it gives you some background that you can appreciate if you can make it through those books, because those books are dull and nonsensical. And they don't, it's a lot of, like, time travel, like, weird, well, not even time travel, just like, hey, all this stuff that's happened and is keep happening, and also what happened then, but now it's going to happen again. What? I don't get that. But once it launches into, like, Dark Knight's Metal number one and number two, and then once you get into these, like, evil bat villain, like, this entire dark multiverse is spawned from the fears and nightmares that happen in the quote-unquote real world, and who has more dark, evil fears and nightmares than Batman? And it's just like, and those then come to life and are now very angry that all they are is just a glimpse of someone above them.
Yeah.
The real them. They are going through they are living a full life and experiencing all of these awful things because someone else is more real than they are. And they decide, hey, no.
And eventually.
And it's just, it's so cool.
And eventually their worlds end.
Yeah, they are meant to end.
Yeah.
Like, their entire lives, their entire just whole
existence.
Lifetime of existence of pain and suffering, because that's what most of them have only seen. And it all ends with, their story just ends with, and then the world ended around me.
Yep.
But what if it didn't? What if you could take all of that pain and suffering and you could inflict it on the person who did this to you. And it like, holy crap, yeah.
Yeah, no, metal has been great.
It's like, so it like, and it's and again, it's entirely insane. It's nuts. We were talking about it before the show. I'm not 100% sure it's canon, or if it's happening in the main universe. I'm not entirely sure Scott Snyder knows if it's canon or happening in the main universe.
And I still maintain there's no way it is, just because of like the other stories that are happening.
The farther you get in the book, and you're like, how could this possibly be happening at the same time as Bruce Wayne laying in bed with Catwoman? Like, I'm going to tell you a tale. Like, no. Stuff is insane. It is the Dark Crisis. Like, this is basically Crisis on Infinite Earths, but like metal.
And Batman.
And like I said, maybe it's just because it's the most recent thing I've read, but this is the most excited I've been for anything comic book in a really long time.
That's saying something.
Because it's fun. It's stupid fun, but it's not fun because it's dark and some of the things are terrible. It's just like, oh no. The times I've audibly gasped while reading a comic book. Dark Knight Metal.
I like metal a lot. I haven't been able to get into it near as much as Asa. Like I haven't felt that pull.
If we did this conversation and like after it ends, like if we did this conversation in July, Detective will probably like retake it as my number one. But as of like where I am right now, metal is my favorite thing in comics.
Oh, fair enough. All right, so now I'm going to get to mine. There are some duplicates with Asa's
because I have the best taste.
Dalton's books weren't in anybody else's.
That's
fine. Very good.
Oh, well.
Sorry, they weren't very interesting.
Two of them are getting canceled.
I mean, I will say, like, I
wait, two?
No, I'm kidding.
I was gonna say, I was like, wait a minute.
I was just gonna make Dalton sweat for a second.
Hasn't got a hold of Nightwing yet.
See, and that's the thing. Is like, don't get me wrong. Like, as much as I don't think those Nightwing stories were good, like, I get your reasoning behind it, but you can also admit, like, yeah, some of that storytelling was questionable. I was like, but I don't want it canceled. Like, I want there to be a Nightwing. Like, I want Nightwing to have a thing. I wish it was better, but.
Yeah, yeah. This thing will become Titans. All right. So, yeah, basically, this is in no particular order. There will be some, like I said, duplicates. Mm-hmm. I already talked about Tom King's Batman.
Yeah.
That was, like I said, I'm not going to put these in any kind of order because I can't.
Yeah. I mean, mine was not in any specific order minus Metal and Detective, kind of like those are very much top tier for me.
Gotcha. Tom King's Batman run has just been incredible. We can't really talk about it more. We've already kind of just said everything we could about that one.
Other than just buy it, read it. You should be reading it.
If you haven't, what are you doing right now? Because go.
Why are you listening to this show? Yeah.
Go to Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
They have the trades.
You can buy them, read them. They're great. Anyway, all new Wolverine. This one was really surprising to me, like, how good it's been,
mm-hmm.
because I definitely didn't expect it. This is it's the story of Laura Kinney mm-hmm. taking over the mantle of Wolverine and just kind of dealing with the fallout of that. And a lot of the stories have turned out just really, really good. And when you look at it on paper, the first story arc involves her finding out that they are making more clones of her. And these other clones are being poorly treated, everything else. They are rebelling against their creators, as clones of Laura Kinney are wont to do.
you don't say. Dang it.
And, yeah, like, she finds out they've done some particular terrible things to these girls, like inhibiting their healing factor and also removing their ability to feel pain at all. It's really, really interesting. And the youngest one, girl by the name of Gabby, ends up joining Laura. And their dynamic is incredible. Because you have Laura Kinney, and then you have clone of Laura Kinney that hasn't experienced all of the terrible things that life threw at Laura Kinney.
So you have best possible scenario Laura Kinney.
She's so happy, and she's just this adorable, happy little murder machine.
Is she the one where it's the burglars break into the X-Mansion, and it's Old Man Logan, Laura Kinney, and then like many, and she's like, oh, are you breaking in? She's just so excited.
Spoiler alert. That's one of my top moments. Because, yeah, no, that happens. We'll get to it later.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, no, like, all new Wolverine has just been surprisingly great. She has a run with the Guardians of the Galaxy that ends up being really good.
Really?
Yes.
That's not a pairing I would have expected them to do.
Me neither.
But you're glad they did.
Because it was awesome. yeah, no, all new Wolverine is just really, really good stuff. Right now they're doing a whole run with Dokken. Like, he kind of comes back around. Like, she has encountered every Wolverine person but Jimmy Hudson so far, and I'm waiting for that to happen.
Because he's in blue, isn't he now?
Yes, okay. Yeah, he's in X-Men blue. But anyway, yeah, all new Wolverine is just phenomenal. Daredevil. Charles Soule's Daredevil run. Holy crap. This followed the Mark Waid, Chris Samnee run, and I was thinking, like, you know, similar to the Scott Snyder run, there's no way that this is going to be anywhere near as good. And Charles Soule, who also, by the way, wrote Curse Words, just been knocking it out of the park. Like, he's introduced a new character, Blindspot, that ended up being great. He introduced a new villain by the name of Muse, who is one of the creepiest things I've seen in comic books since Capullo drew the Joker without a face. Like,
oh, yeah, I think you showed me that one.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty sure I have.
Yeah, because, like, you talking about, like, you've talked about the Daredevil run before, and it's, like, it always makes me tempted to, like, buy those, like, if not the trades, those, like, bundled issues that they do at VG.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth it, especially if you are a fan of seeing Matt Murdock do his thing. Because there's a whole lot of that. There's a little bit of, like, some legal system stuff that he's trying to do on top of just being Daredevil.
Right.
And, you know, in that being awesome. Like, it's really good stuff, and it's him dealing with kind of the fallout of the end of Mark Waid and Chris Samnee's run, where he actually had, you know, he had gotten disbarred. He moved out to California. Everybody knew that he was Daredevil, so he got his secret identity back again. They explain how he did it, and that turned out to be awesome. Like, yeah, everything about this Charles Soule Daredevil run has actually been really solid. Batman White Knight. That was the Sean Murphy's title that started this year. This book, I was really, really excited for it, and so far has not let me down. The artwork has been incredible. The story has been really, really good. I haven't read the most recent issue, but I hear that goes into something that I'm really interested in. So I'm really excited about that. Some of the villains is some of the best I've ever seen. Like, how they drew, or how Sean Murphy's take on how some of the villains look is incredible. The Harley Quinn explanation is phenomenal. I love every bit of that. It made me extremely happy.
And I get why people like it. It kind of missed me.
It hit me square in the feels, or whatever you want to phrase it. I absolutely loved how they handled Harley Quinn in this book. And yeah, so far, just been amazing. Definitely worth reading. I'm really looking forward to what's going to come out of that. But anyway, Curse Words, we already talked about that one. That book ended up being just, David talked to Asa about it. Asa talked to me about it. Then David talked to me about it. And then I talked to Trevor about it. Because
who are you
going to
tell Trevor?
Do what?
Who are you going to tell Trevor?
Trevor's got to get somebody addicted now. Because it is just, it's really, really good. It shows off how fun comic books can be. It's not one of the big two. It's written by Charles Soule, like I said, the same guy that does the Daredevil run. And yeah, really good stuff. I've been thoroughly enjoying Curse Words. Infamous Iron Man, we also talked a little bit about that one. That's another one of my top picks of 2017. That one ended up being shockingly good. Like Asa said, once you get to the big reveal of his motivation,
it's so good. It's so good.
It's the most Doctor Doom thing ever.
It really is.
And I love it.
Because that was the thing. It's like, man, I don't like the idea that Doctor Doom, his name is Doom.
He is one of the biggest, baddest villains in Marvel. He figured out a way to create diplomatic immunity so that the Avengers couldn't hunt him down.
Also, briefly, was God.
Yeah. Briefly was God. Didn't do a terrible job at it.
and then decides, like, I'm, you know what? Okay, I'll be a good guy now. What? You're going to have to explain yourself, sir. Oh, you did? Oh, well, I'm just going to buckle up. I'm on board.
It's so good. I highly recommend it. Like, I also had, you know, Spectacular Spider-Man on this list. but I haven't been caught up with it, which is the only reason it didn't, like, make the actual list.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, it's getting an honorable mention because I've loved the first 4 or 5 issues that I've read.
Mm-hmm.
Think I'm on issue 5. I don't remember.
No, like I said, I'm only on 3, and it's yeah. and I'm just like
it's fantastic. It's
another one where I'm just like, I want to read more. I want to know what comes next.
Yes, which is disappointing as Dan Slott's run has been. I say disappointing. It's just been kind of
hit and miss, as inconsistent.
Yeah, there you go. And then like Spider-Man Renew Your Vows.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one that was surprisingly good. It kind of stuck around after it came around during Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. As just kind of a spinoff title wherein Peter never gave up his marriage with Mary Jane.
Right.
And they exist inside of that universe. It ended up being really good, and it stayed really good. The whole thing revolves around, like, him, Mary Jane, and their daughter. Mary Jane gets spider powers, and their daughter has spider powers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun. It's good old-fashioned family fun.
Right.
With Spider-Man. Anyway. So both of those get honorable mentions, which if you guys know anything about me, you know that Spider-Man he's up there with Batman for my favorite hero of all time.
Yep.
So, like, the fact that a Spider-Man book isn't actually in my top 10 is really sad to me. Again, Spectacular Spider-Man probably will be once I get caught up.
Yeah.
I just need to do that. Anyway, and then I had another honorable mention, but I'm trying, because I didn't actually have the honorable mentions written down. Because I didn't think I was going to go up to 10. Oh, Invincible Iron Man, the Riri Williams run,
mm-hmm.
has also been really good. And Flash. Flash would probably stay up here, but I haven't read any of... I'm pretty sure that I haven't read any of Flash in 2017 past the button.
Oh, it's been so good.
And that's what I've heard. I need to read more of it because I loved what I've read.
The fallout of the button stuff has been... excuse me. The fallout of the button stuff has been some of my... some of my favorite Flash stuff.
Yep.
And I really like those early, like the Godspeed arc.
The early arcs were great. Like the arcs leading up to the button,
mm-hmm.
like I found myself just reading the Flash so that I could read the button.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't like, I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't really into it.
Right.
Like I was the Godspeed arc.
Yeah.
Like I feel like with the Flash, the main reason it's an honorable mention for me, the Flash just started off incredible with that Godspeed arc. Like, oh, it was so good. And then it just sort of, like, slumped.
I can see that.
And, yeah, like, I want to read more of it. I will read more of it. It's just, that's why it gets an honorable mention for me instead right. of
and
being
that's fair.
In the top. And same thing with Metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's in my honorable mentions. But it hasn't, like, really grabbed me yet.
And I'm one of the, and, like, it's one of those things where I am 100% willing to admit that, like, I get that not everybody's going to like Metal. Not everybody, mm-hmm. like, it may not be conventionally, like, great. It's just, it hit me in a certain, it caught me in a way that I wasn't expecting. Like, it kind of blindsided me. And it was just like, okay, like, I'm engaged in this.
It's can't your really Harley Quinn explanation.
Yeah, exactly. I can't explain it. Also, post-Button Flash, they do some really cool stuff with Barry Allen, I think.
That's
fun. And that makes it even, because they right. do cool stuff with Flash. Then they do cool stuff with Barry Allen. And it's like, ooh, these play well together.
And as much as I could talk about more comic books, mm-hmm. yeah, I didn't know about I couldn't even find 10, because I can absolutely find 10 books that happened in 2017 that were incredible. I think maybe dude needs to get, you know, out of his head a little bit. Maybe
right.
Gets past, like, I only read Batman and Spider-Man.
See,
or I don't know.
I will discount anything Marvel and DC does. Because we are not, like, because there were some amazing books. Like, my favorite thing is Monsters has apparently been, like, one of the best comic books to come out in a decade.
Yeah.
And because, like, you can go outside of the big two, which we only did for Curse Words, and then Power Rangers is part of Boom.
Yeah.
But, like, there are so, that's what's cool about comic books is it's not just superheroes. Like, there are other, like, The Realm came out.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to most in 2018. Jeremy Hahn's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like his stuff with Beauty was really good. I liked Beauty a lot.
And if you look back, guys, we interviewed Jeremy Hahn on not this show, on Nerd Up months ago. You could find it on Podzilla1985.com. Anyway, for sake of time, we're going to go ahead and get into our best ofs real quick, and we got to kind of make it a little quick.
What was your favorite of the year, though?
Oh,
or did you just had a list? You didn't.
Yeah,
do
I just had a list. Okay. I didn't do a
favorite.
I
didn't know if we were building up, like you were building up to your favorite thing.
No.
He
okay.
listed
that's
off like
no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just knocked him out.
Because you did you did the honorable mentions, and I thought that was going to be your like your buffer between. And you'd covered like all of the stuff you had like really been into, like stuff that we talked about. I was like, what is left? I don't know.
Nope. Yeah, Jesse did his main list and then his honorable
mentions.
Did
Jesse really love Cyborg? He just didn't tell me.
Yeah, I can't really think of any other books that... No. Anyway, so, Dalton, we're going to start with you, and we're just going to do one category. All three of us will do it. Then we'll do the next category. Sure. All three of us will hit it.
Okay.
All right. So, Dalton, we'll start with you. Best new story in 2017.
Iceman.
Did that start in 2017, or was that 2016?
It started in the summer.
Oh, okay. Asa?
Dark Knight's Metal. All
right. And mine was Batman White Knight. He goes, holy crap, that's so good.
I wish I liked it more. I really do. Like I think I'm an issue or two behind now, and I'm like I very much plan on getting caught up. I will finish it out. It's just like it's another War of Jokes and Riddles where what I was hoping we were going to get and what we're getting
are two completely different things.
Yeah, are just different.
Yeah.
And I understand that's on me.
It's fair. That's fair. All right, Dalton. Best ongoing comic of 2017.
I'm going to go with Nightwing on it, just because it's the book that I will
always... You need to read more books.
Mm-hmm.
I only read like 10 books.
Well, okay. Asa, best ongoing.
Detective. All right. For reasons stated above.
There you go. And then my best ongoing is Batman, Tom King's run. Mm-hmm. It's just been...
That's so good.
Also, just to differentiate, just in case you guys don't quite get the terminology there, best new comic was just something that started in 2017, whether it be an event, just a side story, something like that. Something that began in 2017.
A new ongoing book like Iceman was going to be, or like a Metal isn't it? I don't even mean that as a shot, just like that's...
Right, and importantly, like, best ongoing can be a new title in 2017.
Right.
So Dalton could have said Iceman again. For both of them, but instead he was just like, well, I've got to give it to my favorite, even though he's been a constant letdown.
Because my new favorite comic book's being canceled, because F you, Marvel.
It's not Marvel's fault. People weren't buying it, homie. That's what happens. When books don't get bought, they get canceled. It's really sad, I know.
Yeah.
It's such a good
Same thing with like TV shows. No one watches them.
I'm talking during best moments, so I'll let the next one go. Yeah.
All right. Best moment, Dalton. Hit me.
All right. So Iceman number one. And I said I got hooked. So the crux of it is you have Bobby Drake, who is one of the most powerful mutants in the Marvel Universe. And his life is not anywhere where he wants it to be, because not only is he a mutant in this world that doesn't like mutants, he's also gay. So now he has this. His parents don't know. So he's having like the side story of this thing is he wants to come out to his parents, but his parents are already having issues with him being a mutant. So you have that. You also have young Bobby Drake, who is in because of all new X-Men from years ago, who seems just to have his life more put together than old him. And there's even a line in the first book where he's like, where young Bobby Drake's just like, hey, you want to just come with me on this date that I'm on? And he's like, I'm not going to third wheel younger me's date. And the whole through line of it is he is making, like, he's on an online dating profile, and it's like, describe yourself in 500 characters or less. And like throughout the book, like three or four times, you see him like type something, and then it'll go back to it, and it's completely erased. And at the very end of it, whenever it's just kind of like, well, I guess this is the life that's handed me, he just does the shrug emoji. And that's the describe myself in 500 words or less. And something about that felt so genuine and so like, I get this. And I was just like, all right, you have me hooked. And I have loved every book since, because it's just like he has so many bigger issues also with being this X-Men that's like the leader, of, like becoming like one of the big pillars of the entire team. And that was probably my favorite book of the year.
So I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning of that. Did you say that Iceman is one of
it's becoming like canon-wise, like in that book, it's just like, no, he's becoming like one of the top-level mutants just because he's been around for so long.
In that book. He might be one of the top-level X-Men, but he is not one of the most powerful mutants of all time.
In that universe, though, like...
Not even close.
That universe is the Marvel universe.
Because if someone has said that Iceman is an Omega level mutant, nah.
We're going to need to see evidence.
Cause
and again, it's that thing where I'm going to need it acknowledged outside of his solo book.
Yeah. because Iceman is one of those characters, like, Iceman is really cool, and he can do some really cool stuff, especially, like, in the future, he kind of, like, separates himself, and he can start making ice golems and stuff like that, and it's really neat that he can do that, but Iceman still gets chumped in every fight by everyone.
You need to watch, you need to read the ongoing, that doesn't happen as much. It happens, like, mid-book, and then he just messes him up. I'm doing really good at censoring myself this episode.
Because I'm just wondering if, like, did that comic say explicitly that Iceman is an Omega-level mutant?
No, it didn't say Omega-level, but, like, okay. Yeah, no.
Because there are empirical
tiers. Yeah, that is a difference. Not Omega-level, but he is, like, of just, like, the X-Men that are around.
Of, like, the B-level, he's, like, top of the – he's a solid B-plus player.
At least he didn't have to come back in Legacy. Stupid Wolverine.
No reason.
Yeah.
Asa, best moment in comics 2017.
So I want to give it to the Batman Who Laughs, and I'm not going to get into it because that's a fairly recent book, but, like, there's a thing that happens in that book that is so kind of – that is genuinely shocking, where it's like you know what the end result is, but, like, when it shows you how it got there, it's just like, oh, wow. But I think my favorite moment from 2017 comes from Detective Comics, and it is in the run where they're fighting Shiva, who it turns out is Orphan's mother. And Orphan is unaware of this. She doesn't know, like, who her parents are. She doesn't know, like, really much about herself. She's also very closed off in the sense that she doesn't speak, like, to anyone.
Well, she speaks to one person, right?
I mean, she will get, some people can get words out of her. She speaks to Spoiler
more
consistently, but it's still not like she doesn't have full-on conversations. But Spoiler is really the person who's kind of bringing her to, like, bringing her kind of away from where she started.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler is no longer a factor for reasons that will be left unsaid. So she doesn't really have that outlet of who she can talk to for the best. So she overhears something, and there's a moment where she hugs Batman and says, why her? And it's just so, like, that entire arc is one of my favorite things that comics have done in a very long time. Like I said, it might just be how recent Metal is and how just kind of off the wall fun it is. Detective Comics is not that. Detective Comics is such a grounded, like, not character study, but, like, you see these very real-feeling characters, and you have this attachment to them, to all of them. Orphan, you almost, like, the fact that she doesn't speak, the fact that she's had such a screwed-up life, and then you see, like, her needing to understand her relationship with Shiva, or her lack of relationship with Shiva, and then her just seeing all of these things that Shiva does, and then hears these things that Shiva has done on top of that, and then for her to that just be dropped on her lap of just, like, why her? And just, like, it's that moment where Batman's even taken aback, because there's this great mechanic, or, like, there's this great bit where it's like, okay, Batman is terrified that she will, like, end up joining Shiva. And Orphan can, he has said, if Orphan very much tried, she could beat him one-on-one. He is scared of Orphan.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to balance kind of almost being this father figure to, okay, but what if?
Because basically she has, the way she fights, it borders on precognition.
Yeah, she's borderline meta. Yeah. Like, she's a borderline meta human.
Because
mm-hmm. She's kind of like Karnak, but also because she can read people. And that is another just chilling moment of when she realizes that Batman is afraid of her, and the heartbreak that she, like, that you see her go through when she realizes that, and just like, okay, so I have this evil mother who doesn't want me. I have this person here who brought me in, but apparently is only because to keep an eye on me. He doesn't actually love me. And it's just, oh, it's so good. And but just that, the why her, as she's crying, like, just latched onto Bruce, and it's just,
That's right in the feels, man.
Yeah, no, it very much is. Like, it is, like, this is a year that there's so many things that I could have pulled through. That was the first one that popped in my mind.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess it is important to note that I mentioned these categories, like, this afternoon. So there's probably stuff that, like, if I really thought about it, might take the place of some of the things that I've said.
And I don't know if that one, I think that one might have ended up being just my moment, even if I had, like, a week to think about it.
That's fair. Like, I'm just throwing that out there because that was a disclaimer I meant to throw out before, mm-hmm. Because reasons. Anyway, My best moment was probably the one Asa described earlier with All New Wolverine.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Because it was just like, I don't often like get an out loud reaction to comic books. I put down the comic book because I was laughing so hard. I had to Snapchat it to people so that other people could experience this. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of the detail of what's happening here, but they're in Laura's apartment with Gabby and Old Man Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And that relationship is already kind of tense because technically Wolverine is kind of Laura's dad. And this one isn't really him because it's from a different timeline where, you know, he murdered everybody.
And this one isn't really her because she's a clone of...
Oh, are you talking about Gabby?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Yeah, well...
So it's a tenuous relationship.
It's a third daughter.
Things are strange.
And the other thing is Logan knows Gabby from his timeline.
Oh, no.
So it's a lot of interesting stuff going on. And basically there's a lot... The room is really tense. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening with them discovering parts of, you know, like, their relationship, their past, what their future's going to be, if they're going to be a family, mm-hmm. like, all this stuff. There's this, just a bunch of, like, this real tense moment. And then these two dum-dums walk in from the fire escape with ski masks, and the three of them just look at them and start laughing. And Gabby just asks, like, oh, my God. Are you guys burglars? And just, there's a panel with the three of them together just laughing. And it's such a beautiful and touching moment. And then Logan's just like, listen, you guys just might want to turn around and leave. And then they don't.
Oh, no.
You don't even have the numbers game.
Well,
the balls
fair,
on
to
you.
Be fair,
one
they
of them's
saw,
an 8-year-old girl.
I was about to say, one is an 8-year-old girl, and the other one's this old timer looking dude. They thought, and you know, and a woman, so they thought they were fine.
he's speaking in burglar idiot logic.
Exactly. Obviously, I don't agree with the burglars, and they should have taken Logan's suggestion to just.
It was
leave.
A very so generous offer.
It was a polite conversation, and they left calmly, right? Oh, schnicked? Is that what happened?
Snick, snick, snick. There were three sets. Oh, my God. It was so funny. Yeah, no, just everything about that scene was just, it was heartwarming. It was delightful. Because, again, you know, like, broken family moment. Just,
The landlord just wanted to know why she painted the walls red.
And all I saw, because that was one that got posted to, like, Reddit.
No,
it was just,
yeah.
like, totally out of context. So all you see is burglars walking into the room or into the hallway. The blank stare of them just like, no. And then the, are you guys burglars? And then just the panel of them all just with the ha 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 ha's like behind them as they're doubled over in just laughter.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Guys, I can't tell you like how much you should be reading All New Wolverine. It's so delightful and fun and also murderous. Because Wolverine, I mean, she's not really murdering. She's trying not to murder people.
But it's hard when you have those things coming out of you.
Right. Anyway, and all right. So the last two categories we got best writer, Dalton, hit me.
Best writer. Oh,
your best writer. Top writer.
Tom King writes Batman. Also, he wrote Mr. Miracle.
I did actually start reading, the first arc. But that was back in 2016. But I will give it to Tom King just because I really liked Batman so far.
Sure.
That's I mean, his stuff in 2017 has been amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely worth it. Asa?
I got to give it to Tinian, like, because he does the Detective. And I have pretty consistently been enjoying Detective more than Batman.
It's fair. I for mine, it was kind of a toss-up. Like, the obvious answer is Tom King. Mm-hmm. Because that Batman run has just been incredible.
I really wanted to read Mr. Miracle, too, because I've heard that has just been mind-blowingly amazing. Yeah.
But I'm going to give it to Charles Soule,
mm-hmm.
just because, like, Daredevil and Curse Words, both of those books, like, they may not be quite on par with Batman, but I am willing to admit that's more because of my bias towards Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Because Soul has given me two incredible books that are absolutely worth reading.
And are also very different from each other.
Very different. And very good. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think I'm going to give it to Charles Soule.
That's fair.
I still need to read his X-Men run, because apparently he is doing an X-Men run.
Is it the Astonishing X-Men?
Yes.
Yeah. That team intrigues me.
Yes, me too.
I saw an ad for that when I was reading, when I was getting caught up on Spider-Man. And I was like, oh, this missed me.
Yeah, and we talked about it a few weeks ago. Apparently that's how, that through that book is how Xavier is returning.
Oh, never mind.
And
like, if there's anyone that's going to do it well, it'll be Charles Soule, but, eh.
Fair enough. I'll let you know whenever I get into it.
Do that.
anyway, and best artist, Dalton Hibby.
All right, I did not read a single book that he wrote, but I've seen his covers, and I fell in absolute love with them. Chip Zdarsky.
I thought he was about to do a bit, and he was going to say Tim Sale, and I was going to swing on him.
No, the How to Draw covers were probably my favorite thing in comic books.
Oh, they were so good.
Yeah.
The How to Draw in Marvel, especially the Wolverine was probably my favorite one.
The Daredevil one was pretty great.
Oh, my God.
Start with drawing Matt Murdock. And then, yeah, no, because he's blind. He can't fight.
Yeah, the all new Wolverine one ends with drawing, what's her name from the Deadpool movie? Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Because, like the second to last panel on there is like, kill off Wolverine, replace with new upcomer. Anyway, Asa.
So mine's cheating because it has multiple artists, apparently, because I thought it was the same artist like throughout the entire run, but they are keeping a similar style. But the Flash has some of my favorite art. Like, I've realized, like, and it's because I have been rereading, or not rereading, but I've been getting caught up on it. Just the art style feels very comic booky, but like it doesn't take it away from some of the story that they're trying to tell. And it all kind of has these, like, rough edges and, like, lines protruding in places that, you know, shouldn't be. Also, the way that things have been, that they have been drawing the Speed Force and also Spoiler are really interesting. And it all kind of fits within the same kind of, like, it feels like they all kind of agreed that they're going to use the same art style throughout their different runs, like, that the different artists have done.
I gotcha.
Yeah, because apparently it is a bunch of different people. I was unaware of that.
Yeah, because normally with a big book like that, you do have, like, it's typically a writer-artist combo.
Mm-hmm.
With occasionally you'll get different artists for certain books, for certain issues. Yeah,
but yeah, it looks it's very aesthetically pleasing.
Gotcha. For me, it's going to be Sean Murphy because of that White Knight run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you look past, like, even if, and I understand why people wouldn't like certain things that he's done with the book so far, because it is an Elseworlds book, and I can understand, like, how those can rub people the wrong way. But either way, looking past that.
But they're beautiful.
Oh, my God. The art is gorgeous.
Yeah,
I wasn't even including you when I was talking about, like, it might miss.
Right.
Like, I understand people will act, there are people that actively hate White Knight. Because of some of the things they've done. Oh, I understand. And that's what why I meant. Like, I wasn't necessarily including you. Mm-hmm. But nobody can deny, like, oh, like Dalton said, beautiful.
Oh, yeah, no, if those how-to covers hadn't come out, it would have been Sean Murphy. Like, because that, like, and I'm not a huge fan of the story that they're telling, but I can't say that those pages aren't some of the most striking things I've seen in a while.
Like, he might have, like, my favorite rendition of Bane in print.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how he drew Bane. Oh. Mm-hmm. Like, most of the villains, all of them look great. It's everything about how the art has looked for this is awesome, and I love it.
Yes.
All right. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us. We will see you guys next month. Thank you for tuning in. Sorry we ran a little long. I know I plugged them once, but I can't plug them enough. If you need a comic book shop, Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri, they are the absolute best. You can go in, get a cup of coffee, and talk about comic books with them. And it's just wonderful. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you next month.